How many of you got your paper and your pen? And if you did not, go ahead and take a moment and go to the table in the rear of the sanctuary. Get a pen. There's a bunch of pens back there. There's paper, bunch of paper back there. Okay, everybody have your paper and your pen ready to go. I would like you to take your pen and your paper, and I'm going to have you write five things. And what I want you to do is this. When you write, and they don't have to be in a specific order. It's just five things, and I'll tell you what things to write. But when you write it, skip a space and then write the second one. And then skip a space and write the third one, and so forth. I want you to think about your life, and I want you to write down five things you want in life. Now somebody could ask, well, what do you mean five things? I mean, what kind of things? Just what? It doesn't matter. This is totally up to you. What five somethings do you want in life? Now, this isn't going to take a paragraph per something. Just, you know, if you happen to live out in the middle of a desert, one of the things that you might want would be a double hump camel. So, okay, I just made that up to be silly. But five whatevers. Five, it can be anything, absolutely anything. Five somethings that you want in life. Now, those of you who are listening to this by audio, I suggest that you pause the playback long enough to write down the five things that you want. So pause the video, or the audio, write down five things that you want. And then after you have those five things written down, you can go ahead and start the playback again. Now remember, this can be absolutely anything, and I'm being extremely vague on purpose, and you'll understand in just a few moments. But five things, five somethings, five whatevers you want in life. And obviously that pertains to how you see your life right now. Go ahead and write down those five. Some of you maybe, you know, it could be, if you have like seven and you write seven down, that's okay. If you have 10 and you write 10 down very quickly, that's okay. It's not totally restricted to five, but I'd like you to write down, you know, at least five. And once you get to the five, you can stop if you want. That's perfectly all right. And you don't have to describe the five. Just, if one of the things you want in life is a toothpick, toothpick. That's all it takes. One word. And then you go to the next line down. You skip a line and go down, write the second one. So it doesn't have to be this grand. You're not going to show this to anybody. This is for you. You're not going to turn this in for a grade, okay? This is strictly for you. Now, if you ever want to share it with anybody else, you can, but it's total. This is for you, for your benefit. So five things. And I'm guessing that most of you are pretty close to being done. The kids are writing, I want one of those Hostess cupcakes that Pastor mentioned. Okay, now that you have your five things written down, I want you to look at each one of them. To what does each of these pertain? Now, I'll explain. Is it a physical something? In other words, I want healing for my big toe. I want my rash to go away. I want, you understand what I'm saying? I want healing for my liver. Is it a physical something? If it is, just write physical next to it. Out of your list. However many you wrote down, whichever ones are physical, just write physical next to them. Is it financial? I want more money. That pretty well, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to say I want less money. I want more money. How you get that money, preferably it's going to be honest, but I want more money. I want to be out of debt. I want to, beyond more money and be out of debt, there's not a whole lot left, really. But is it financial? Now, if it's financial, just write financial next to it. Is it occupational? I want a promotion on my job. I want a better job. I want a job. Is it occupational? I want my boss to quit yelling at me. Is it occupational? If it's occupational, write occupational. Is it spiritual? I want to know God better. I want to understand the Bible better. I want to hear God speak more clearly. Is it spiritual? If it is, write spiritual next to it. Is it family related? As in, you know, I want my children to serve the Lord. I want grandpa to get born again. I want our family to get along better. Is it family related? If it's family related, just write family right next to it. Is it ministry related? Meaning, I don't know what my calling is, but I do want to know. I want to know what my ministry calling is. I know what my ministry calling is, but I want to begin to operate more in my ministry calling. You know, just along those lines. Is it ministry related? If so, just write ministry next to that something. And if it's not physical or financial or occupational or spiritual or family related or ministry related, I mean, if it's something else in another category, then you create your own category and write it next to wherever it would apply. But it's important that you identify each one of these relative to what it is they pertain to. Most of you probably have this finished, this part. Okay, now, underneath all of the things that you have written that you want, just skip a line below the last one, and on that next line, write this. Why do I want these things? Why do I want these things? Now, don't answer that yet. In other words, don't sit down and start writing a book. This is something really for you to consider, meditate on a little bit later on. But why do you want these things? Why? Now, some of them are very easy to answer. For example, if you wrote, well, I want my children to serve the Lord. Well, that's going to be an easy one to answer, you know, why you want this. But some of the other things that you might have written down, why do you want them? Why? Skip a line and now write this. How did these things become a want? How did these things become a want? Because last week, none of these things may have been a want. I don't know. Or maybe these things have been a want in your life for a long time. But how did they become a want? What has happened in your life to where each one of these on your list has become something that you want? How did these things become a want? You see, when I asked that question, or you know, gave you the instruction, you know, write at least five things down that you want, the odds are the five things that you wrote down are things that you feel are the most critical in your life. This is very important because it gives you a revelation of where you have established your priorities and what it is you're really pressing after. Because you see, we can all play the religious game. Yeah, a few moments ago we were singing, "I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God." And we all know how to say that. And we all know how to make that the declaration. And we can even muster up tears out of emotions. And "I want more of God. I want more of God." Well, how do you get more of God? Well, I really want, what you mean is you really want more of His presence. Which goes along with, I want to be more aware of His presence. Whatever you put on your list, those are the things that mean the most to you. You say, "Well, now, wait a minute, hold on, time out, Pastor. Hold on there, hold on. You know, you gave us the example of if you live in the desert, you might want a double hump camel. So I thought you meant things. You heard what you wanted to hear. Because I said it doesn't matter. I said five things, five somethings, five whatevers. So immediately you began thinking of what five or more things do I want in my life? How many of you have a lost family member that you would really want a phone call? "Mom, I've given my life to Jesus." Do you understand what I'm saying in this? You have just revealed the priorities of your life in this list. And that's why I was extremely vague at the beginning. Because if a new car is the thing that you want, and that's on your list, well, that is okay. But look at the sum total of the list. And this is going to become more clear the further we go into this. So the last thing that I had you write was, how did these things become a want? Now skip a line and write this. How do these things fit into God's plan for my life? How do these things fit into God's plan for my life? Now again, this is something that if you want to write out a long answer later on, you can. Now's not the time necessarily to do that, but this is just for thought. How do these things fit into God's plan for my life? Well, I'd really like to have one of those big 70-inch TVs. Okay, well, there's nothing wrong with having a 70-inch TV, but how does this fit into God's plan for your life? How did this become a want? You understand what I'm saying? Some people are feeling kind of guilty right about now, and some people are feeling as though I tricked you. I did not trick you. I did not trick you. What I did was tell you what to do in the most vague way possible, and the things that popped up in your mind, that's what you want. Well, I'm starting to feel kind of convicted right now, Pastor Jim. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. Now, underneath, on the skip a line and write this. Well, actually, you don't have to write it, but you can. And you can make it personal, but here it is. What are you doing to make these things happen? What are you doing to make these things happen? Or you can, you know, put it in first person. What am I doing to make these things happen? What are you doing? Well, I want to see healing from my big toe. Okay, well, praise God. Everybody likes to have a healthy big toe. And people don't have a big toe, they want one. So, yeah, I want a big toe. Lost mine when the dog bit it off. I want a big toe. Now, that's silly, but it is. I mean, I have a relative who had a toe amputated. I'm sure he'd like to have that toe back. So, what are you doing to make these things happen? You say, well, Brother Martin, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm trusting God. Oh, come on. Everybody says that. I'm trusting God. That is, now, I realize for some people, that is the blanket statement to describe or to reveal they're doing something without going into the detail of what they're doing. You know, I'm trusting God. And that means something to them. But guys, for most Christians, when they say I'm trusting God, all they're doing is repeating what they've been told to say. What they've been trained to say. This is how you're supposed to respond when you are a Christian. Maybe we should teach a course, Christianese 101. When somebody asks you how you're doing, you tell them, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Oh, bohonky. You probably don't believe that. Because if we hang around you long enough and hear what else comes out of your mouth, the first complaint we hear proves you don't believe that you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You're just repeating it. And the same thing with, what are you doing to make these things happen? Well, I'm trusting God. Praise the Lord. What are you doing? I'm trusting God. But what are you doing? I'm trusting God. Well, we're going to run around this bush all day long, aren't we? Why don't you turn over to James? James chapter 2. I said, bull honky. Colonel Potter would have said, horse apples. That's if you ever watched MASH. At first, I didn't know what horse apples were. Then I figured it out. Oh, no. Okay, James, I'm sure you're getting.
Is that in the Bible, Brother Martin?
Well, James is, but the other isn't. Well, Paul did say dung, didn't he? Anyway, James chapter 2. Beginning in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, I'm trusting the Lord, and have not works? Can faith save him? Or, let me say it like this, can faith make all these things happen? Well, yeah, Brother Martin, you've been teaching on faith. I know. But if you don't listen to the sum total of what I've taught, then you really don't know what I've taught. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. You know, it's amazing to me how many people out there are teaching that extensive meditation in Scripture is works. Praying in tongues is works. Private worship is works. Fasting is works. Well, it says here, faith without works is dead. Well, what kind of works? All right, well, let's think. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled. Now look here. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now, I want you to think of this from a different perspective. We have a list of at least five things that we want. And the question was, what are you doing to make these things happen? The answer by many would have been, I am trusting God. Well, praise the Lord. But using these two verses, 15 and 16, as, let's just say, a template. If one of you says, I'm trusting God, notwithstanding, you give God not those things which He needs, what does it profit? You say, well, what in the world does God need? I mean, He's got my faith. The very fact that you would ask that indicates you really don't understand how faith works. Faith needs your confession. Because you see, God works with words. The work that you need to bring these things into manifestation would be prayer, confession of the Word, meditation in the Word, worship. These things that are going to have an impact, not just on you, but, I'll say it like this, open a door in your life for God to begin to move. Here's the problem. So many people want to say that they're living by faith. They're not living by faith. They're living by what they've been trained to say in church. But they're not living by faith. Faith requires works. For example, I need a job. All right, well, praise the Lord. Is that on your list? Yeah, well, yeah, it's on my list. You know, and so I need a job. All right, well, hallelujah. What are you doing about it? Well, I'm sitting at home trusting God. How many employers know you're sitting at home trusting God? About zero. A good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. Not a good man's rocking in the lazy boy is ordered of the Lord. A good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. In other words, God can direct you to an employer. God can direct you to the website where you fill out the application online. I know things have changed nowadays, I know that. But what I'm getting at is, God is going to provide for me. Hallelujah, I agree with you. You're a child of God. I'm in agreement with you on this. But faith without works is dead. In another place in Scripture, He talks about if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And there are a lot of Christians who are lazy, who could work, and they don't, but they are trusting God. You know what? God says, go hungry. That's God. And some of those people, they want to come in and sponge off the church. Well, you know, come on in. You're going through a rough time? All right, well, we'll help you get some food. But if you're able to work and you don't, just because you don't, you know what? We may feed your wife and kids, but we're not going to help you. You can go hungry. Brother Martin, that ain't love. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. You know what? Let me tell you something about love that many Christians don't get. True love lives by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And if God says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, then you know what? You don't feed the lazy bums. You let them struggle. Brother Martin, that's just plain old cruel. To who? It's not to God. Do you realize if you got a lazy bum in your church who won't work but could work, and you don't feed that person, and you don't pay their car payment, and you don't pay their rent, you don't bail them out? Do you know that if that were the situation in this church, when I stand before God, you know what I'm going to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, Brother Martin, you're a heretic. No, I'm not. Because if God said to handle those kind of situations this way and that's how I handle it, I am doing what God has said. Well, I need a job. Well, praise God, you need a job, man. But at least trust God while you do your part. You understand the difference here? Well, that's just one way of putting it. But here, God needs something from us. He's got my faith. When people say it like that, see, years ago I would have bought into that. Wow, yeah, He's got your faith. Man, I hope someday I can get Him mine.
Hoo-wee.
Nowadays, I realize people that talk like that and act like that, it is a show. They think they mean it, but they really don't. Faith without works is dead. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not feeding faith into yourself through the Word, there ain't no faith coming. It's not that difficult. And so here we see that faith without works is dead. This goes back to, what are you doing to make these things happen? Well, I want to see healing for my big toe. Okay, praise God. Everybody needs a healthy big toe. So what are you doing? Well, I'm trusting God. Well, what does that mean? I'm trusting God. Well, what does that mean? I'm trusting God. In other words, you're not doing anything at all. Are you talking to your big toe? Oh, come on, Brother Martin, that just sounds plain old weird. Who talks to their toes? Well, if I needed a healing in my big toe, I'd be talking to it. I'd be telling it, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. I'd be saying, God sent His Word, healed you, toe. And I call you healed in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're here today and you put a healing for whatever on your list, what are you doing to make this happen? What are you doing? Don't wear your the bragging of your physical whatever as your badge of honor. That's not your badge of honor. Your badge of honor is standing on the Word of God and declaring the Word instead of your belly aching. That's your badge of honor. What are you doing? I need money. Okay, praise God. What are you doing?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. The guy on television the other day said, today is the thousandfold anointing. So I sent him my offering.
Oh, you mean the broadcast that was there on Thursday afternoon?
That's the one, Brother Martin. Did you send your offering in?
No, I didn't send mine in. But do you realize that is a rerun from 3 years ago? And when he said, today is the thousandfold... Okay, that was 3 years ago. So you're like 3 times 365. You're like 10 million years away from... Do you follow what I'm saying? What are you doing to see this money? The Word of God will change things. Are you confessing the Word of God over your financial situation?
No, Brother Martin, I'm just trusting God.
But God works with His Word. See, He needs His Word to work with, to bring things about. How do you think you got born again in the first place? You gave Him His Word. You say, well, how do you figure that? I was lost. I didn't know the Word. Did you call upon the name of the Lord? Well, yeah. Okay, you gave Him His Word. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So you gave Him His Word. You said, Jesus, I need to be born again. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I don't know how you prayed it, but you gave Him His Word. And guess what? He responded. And you got born again. Or as some of the Pentecostals say, you got born again.
And what's wrong with that, Brother Martin?
You see what I'm saying? You've got to do something. What are you doing to see these things come to pass? Well, I want Grandma to be saved. Well, what are you doing? Are you coming against the spiritual blindness? Are you coming against any work of Satan in her life that's trying to keep her from accepting Jesus? What are you doing? Sitting is not doing. Not in this respect. I know the Bible talks about be still and know that I am God. I understand it. That is not what we're talking about here. What are you doing to bring these things to pass? What are you doing to make these things happen? Look over in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. As I was looking through this psalm, I realized, man, you could teach a month of Sundays on this. But we'll just jump here at the first part. Psalm 37, verse 3. Now look here. I want you to see this. Now I'm not going to run through it. Psalm 37, verse 3. Look here. Trust in the Lord and do good. All right, now. What are you doing to make these things happen? Well, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting in the Lord. Okay, well, coupled with trust in the Lord is what? Doing. See that? Doing. Faith is the trust in the Lord. Do good is the works. See that? Now, what are the works? Well, it's not helping little old ladies across the street. It's doing the good of the word. Okay, relative to this message, it's the confession. It's the prayers. It's the worship. It's doing what you can to give God that, you know, the avenue to work through on your life, in your life. And keep in mind, you know, relative to other people, like the family situation stuff, you're not going to change somebody else's will. But you can have an impact on their lives by the power of the Word of God and your prayers. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then he says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Well, let's think of it like this. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou see the things on your list come to pass. If these things are related to God's will for your life. You just write a bunch of fleshy stuff down there. The 70-inch TV. Well, why do you want a 70-inch TV? So the football games look more real, Brother Martin. Come on. I'll invite you over. Oh, Lord, give him a 70-inch. In fact, Lord, make it 80. I'll bring my Star Wars DVDs. We'll have a party. You see what I'm saying? What I'm getting at here in this? He's saying, yeah, you've got to trust me. And it really, you know, when you go back, you know, why do you want these things? How did these things become a want? And how do these things fit into God's plan for your life? What's the priority here? How'd these things end up in your mind to where you translated them into written form? How did they become that important to you? Well, he says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now look here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See that? Now, this thing about delight thyself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, I can remember many years ago thinking, boy, that's a good deal. Let's see. 95-inch TV. Boy, is that a desire. How about, you see what I'm saying? No. Look at this. Delight thyself also in the Lord. In other words, you make a decision that the Lord is your delight. You make a decision that He is your everything. Now, we say that, okay? But today, guys, we're going beyond just the what we always know how to say stuff. I'm talking about the 24/7 living, breathing reality of our lives. I'm delighted in you, O God, and I really don't care if I have a 70-inch TV. In fact, you know what, Father? I could actually do without a TV. I can do completely without a TV. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, because I could watch it on the internet with my computer. No. Do you understand the image here of what I'm sharing with you? I am so delighted in you, Lord. I am so thrilled with you. I'm so happy with you. I see you as my everything. Therefore, I could do without a TV. I could do without watching the stuff on the internet. I could do without, you know, whatever. I can do without it. Because I delight myself in you. And this goes beyond that false humility of, oh, I've given everything away for the Lord. I've done. No, no, no. That's not what this is about. He says, you delight yourself in the Lord. And then He gives you the desires of your heart. Why is that? He gives me what I'm supposed to desire. It's out of His heart that His desires become my desires. This is why you're not going to show this list to me. Because there are some things on your list. Now, again, I don't know who wrote what. But it's possible that there are some things on your list that really shouldn't be there. You know, a single person, I want a husband. That should not be on there. Especially if you're a man. That I should... I want a husband. That shouldn't be on there. You know why? Because what if you aren't supposed to get married in this life? Yes, but the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. I know that. But what I'm saying is, how do you know? And see, this is where I've been contacted by men. I need a wife so I can have a successful ministry. Dude, you ain't going to have a successful ministry, period. And if you find a wife, you find somebody that you can fool enough to marry you, you're going to have a lousy ministry anyway. Because you put finding a spouse above your ministry, above your calling, above your walk with God. You don't need that. No Christian should have on their list, I want a spouse. Every Christian should have, I want to know the will of God, I want it fulfilled in my life, no matter what that means. That's what Jesus talked about over there in Luke when he said, look, you've got to love me more than, you know, your family and even your own life. He wasn't simply talking about your physical, living, breathing life here on this planet. He's talking about the sum total of day-to-day living. All the things that you believe mean the most important to you. Well, see, when you commit your way unto Him, when you delight yourself in the Lord, then what happens is His desires, what means the most to God, it begins to filter down into our heart, and then what we want most in life becomes what He wants most in life as it relates to us. Remember the illustration I gave a little bit earlier about if you got three kids, each one has a different job, a different financial status, and so on and so forth. Well, see, you want things for those children differently. You want to see, like if one child is really, you know, brokenhearted, well, you want that child to be healed inwardly. You know what I'm saying? But the other children are doing great. So your desire for the other two kids is not, oh, I want their broken heart to be healed. Well, they don't have a broken heart. So see, again, that's kind of a simplistic illustration. But what God desires for each one of us is relative to each one of us. Now, there are some things that He wants that are standard for every single Christian, every single one of His children. He wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to know His will. You understand what I mean? But then there are other things that are specific to each one of us. You know, I want you to get over the way that your first husband rejected you. Well, that sure doesn't apply to me. And I know you guys understand what I'm talking about. Okay, He's going to give me the desires of His heart. That is the sum total of everything that is in His heart relative to my existence. Some of those things will be the same for you and for me. Others will be very specific for me. And He wants me to get to the place to where my desires are the same as His. We all have wants. You just made a list. We all have desires. You wrote some down. But we need to make sure that our list lines up with His. Well, obviously, this is a growing process. Because years ago, if you'd asked me, you know, well, make a list. One of the things that I would not have put on my list is, I want to be better disciplined when it comes to reading my Bible. That wouldn't have been anywhere near my list. I wouldn't even have considered such a thing. Well, see, it's different now. Because over time, what I've done is delighted myself more and more in the Lord. I've committed my way more and more to Him, and so there's a change taking place in me. It is a process. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look at this. In verse, let's see here. I'll tell you what. Verse 19. Look what Paul wrote. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." You see this? Paul is saying, at this point in time in my life and ministry, there is only one human on this planet who is like-minded with me and like-minded with Christ. And He will naturally care for your state. In other words, when He shows up, He will care, be concerned. He will have the desires of God's heart in His heart for you. And it will be a natural thing. It won't be something He'll try to have to figure out when He gets there. No, it's in His heart because He has captured the heart of God in the way I have. And He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's." Now see, on this list that you have, it's possible that the things on that list are the things of your own and not of Christ. You say, "Well, Brother Martin, I've gone on here that I need a new vehicle." And that's okay. Because you see, if you have a vehicle that is not at all dependable, or let's say that you have, husband, wife, and six kids, and you have a Volkswagen Beetle, all right, you need another vehicle. And that probably should be on your list. Do you understand what I'm saying? Material things aren't always wrong. It's all relative to what you need. It's all relative to God's desires for you. However, what we're seeing here is we need to get to that place to where we become like Timothy, like-minded, with Paul, but like-minded with Christ. To where we seek what Christ wants for you. Look at another place. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And it's interesting because this one was referenced during praise and worship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ," well, that's me, I'm born again. That's you guys too, as far as I know. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now let me paraphrase this for this teaching. Set your affection on kingdom purposes for your life. You understand what I'm getting at? Because when it says, set your affection on things above, well, okay, spiritual things, and you're not wrong, you're correct. However, remember, if you're the family of eight, and the only thing you have is a Volkswagen Beetle, then there is a kingdom purpose for you to have another vehicle. You see this? If you are, let's say that you're the pastor of a church, and your sanctuary seats 400, but you have 1,000 people showing up. You know what? There is a kingdom purpose for you to have a larger sanctuary. That is a part of God's kingdom desire for what's happening here. Because when he says, don't set your affection on things on the earth, well, see, the tendency would be to completely eliminate every kind of material anything. However, clothing. Do you not need clothing? Okay. Well, is that not a thing here on the earth? All right. Now, if you do without clothing, how well do you think you're going to be received at Walmart? Welcome to Walmart. Would you please wait right here, 911? Yes. You're not going to be received here in this church. Lord, I bear all for you. I love you so much. You see what I'm getting at? It's when you, the earthly things, it's when you have the priority for earthly things in your life above the kingdom purposes. And this is why what's on that list, it truly is a revelation of things that mean the most to you. And there may be indeed some material things on that list that fit in perfectly with God's kingdom plan for you, which would include clothing. Look, you know, when it's winter time, you need a coat, not a coat with all kinds of holes and so forth. You need shoes that don't have holes all in them. There is an aspect of practical living on this planet that does not involve greed or the lust for other things. It's a matter of, Father, I commit my way unto you. Now, teach me what that means. Because most people, no, I don't want to say most people. There are Christians who say, I'm trusting God. And they truly mean that from the bottom of their heart, but they don't know what to do in the trusting process. There are Christians who will say, Jesus, I'm sold out to you. But if they've been raised in a denomination that has misrepresented what selling out to God is all about, then they're selling out according to the plan of the denomination, not according to what God really wants them to do. So, Father, you know, I commit my way unto you, but I'll be honest with you, God, I'm not so sure I really understand what that means. Would you help me? And God is up in heaven saying, and that is what I need. I already know you don't understand it, but I needed you to open up your life to me by just telling me, admitting you don't really understand. Because as your Father, I know this is a learning and growing process. So when you come to me and you say that you don't know, but you want to know, and I see in your heart that you truly want to commit your way unto me, okay, now I'm going to be able to work with you. And I'm going to be able to show you step by step what it really means for you to sell out to me. What it really means for you to fully commit your way unto me. Well, Father, you know, I really want to delight myself in you. But I'm not so sure I really comprehend what I'm supposed to do in that. He says, hey, that's all I need. I'll show you. I'll help you understand how to delight yourself in me. You've taken the first step, which is you've made a decision. This is what you want. Now I'm going to show you how to bring other areas of your life, and really the sum total of all the areas of your life, into subjection to you so that I become the delight priority in your life. Because see, there are a lot of things in our lives that maybe have a priority that they shouldn't have a priority. No, the priority, that they shouldn't have the priority. Or they're prioritized above God where they shouldn't be. You know, just, it could be anything. Let me say this again to try to clarify this. in that list of priorities in life, there may be some things higher than they should be, but they need to be on that list. Does that make sense? The vehicle thing, very simple. You know, yeah, okay. You know, well, I'm not going to be materialistic, so forget about the vehicle. Kids, climb on top of the bug. Let's go to church. No. No. That vehicle needs to be on that list, and there's a good chance it probably, maybe it needs to be in the top 10. Maybe the top 5. But it needs to be on there. It just needs to be prioritized, not eliminated. See this? Now, this list that you put together, don't sit there and start beating yourself up over, how can I have been so stupid? I don't need popsicles. Don't beat yourself up over this. Please. Just take a look at the list and say, okay, I'm seeing this list a little more clearly now. But you know what? At this moment, those things on that list are probably still high in your life. Now you just understand they need to be rearranged. But you know what? It's also very possible that on that list, everything you wrote is exactly a kingdom purpose God has for your life. That it fits into everything God desires. I don't know what you've written. But what I would say is this. If there are some things... Now remember, at the beginning I said, not in order, just put them on there. So the thing that you had at number 5, well, maybe it's supposed to be the most important thing, but just because you wrote it at number 5, no condemnation or conviction over that, okay? You just made a list. That's all. Talk to God about this list if there are some things on there that you're starting to kind of wonder about. Just ask Him about it. And just tell Him, you know, this is really what I thought for me, for my life. But now I'm starting to have some questions about this. So, could you help me out here? Help me get this list fixed. And if I need to add to the list, you know, help me add to it. Whatever. Because guys, when it comes to you and to me, you know, let me give you an example from a pastor's perspective. Oh, God. You know, that guy over there, why, he's pastoring a church of 1,000, and that guy over there, he's pastoring a church of 4,000, and this guy over here, he's pastoring a church of 10,000. And God, you know, Have you watched lately? Oh, God, I want to pastor a church of, you know, 1,000. I want to, and God may be in, if they're saying, no, you don't get it. I don't want you pastoring a church of 1,000. Because I'm going to have a hard time finding 1,000 people that are going to receive what I have you teach. They're not ready. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm just speaking in general terms. No, really, you know, just in general terms, wherever, because people are watching this. You know, it may not be God's will for Pastor Joe to be pastoring a church of 1,000 or 500 for right now. God's will may be, okay, remember, Jesus, He only had 12 apostles, and one of them flaked out. He appeared to over 500, but only about 120 showed up in the upper room. So, what I have to do then as a pastor is stop saying, oh God, I want a church that's running this. No, what I need to do is say, Father, I want to pastor, I want to shepherd however many you want me shepherding. If that's 50, it's 50. If it's 500, it's 500. If it's 50,000, it's 50,000. But my priority is to be the most spiritually developed pastor I can be and not worry about how many are in the seats. So that's just another way to look at this. And that example would be relative to anybody pertaining to your calling. Okay, now take your list, hide them in your Bible, and then everybody stand.